الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eders.com.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: خير القرون قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو كان الإيمان عند ثريا لناله رجل، أو قال رجال من هؤلاء، وفي رواية من أبناء فارس، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. respected مشايخ، respected علماء، respected elders, my brothers and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The title allocated for today is The Manaqib of Imam Azam rahmatullahi alayhi. The virtues of the greatest Imam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. But before I even begin, I'd like to make it clear that to lecture on any topic, never mind a topic so great and so important like the virtues of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, is very difficult when one's mind is occupied with what is happening with the Muslims worldwide at this moment in time. Having said this, it is still an honor to be here and to participate in this blessed gathering. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of all those that have made this conference possible and a success. And I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accepts my efforts to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. My brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of all the signs that were going to take place before the Day of Judgment, that were going to take place before Qiyamah. The minor as well as the major signs. And majority of the minor signs have appeared and appear at this moment in time, as I address you. Ignorance is widespread, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said 1400 years ago that it will be before the Day of Judgment. Killing is rampant. Oppression is on the increase worldwide. Fornication is no longer considered haram. The taking of intoxicants, wheeling and dealing in interest, breaking relations, making tall, lofty buildings, majority of the signs have appeared. One sign that appears at this moment in time is, and especially in England is, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the hour will not come till the latter part of this ummah will not curse, till the latter part of this ummah will begin to curse the former part of the ummah, the Salaf al-Salihin. You hear of youngsters today possessing the latest computers, the Pentiums, the laptops, that have access to these Islamic packages and programs pertaining to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. While at the city of Burun, hundreds and thousands of the hadith will appear before them on the screen. Youngsters which have not studied the deen, yet they have certified themselves to be scholars and act like scholars. These youngsters knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, اُذْكُرُ مَحَاسِنَ مَوْتَاكُمْ وَكُفُّوا أَنْ مَسَاوِيهِمْ, that make a mention of the good thing and the virtues of your dead and refrain from mentioning the evils and their wrongs. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَصُبُّ الْأَمْوَاتِ فَإِنَّهُمْ أَفْدَوْا إِلَى مَا قَدَّمُوا, that do not swear to your dead as they have reached to what they have sent for. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا تَذْكُرُ مَوْتَاكُمْ إِلَّا بِخَيْرٍ إِنْ يَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةَ تَأْثِمُوا وَإِنْ يَكُونُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَحَسْبُهُمْ مَا هُمْ فِيهِ, that do not make a mention of your dead except with good, as if these people have become the inheritors of Jannah, then you will be sinful for doing this. And if these people have become the inhabitants of the fire of hell, then the punishment that they are receiving in hell, that is sufficient for them. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الْغِيبَةُ وَالنَّمِيمَةُ يَجُبْدَانِ فِي الْإِيمَانِ كَمَا يَعْدُلُ الرَّايَ الشَّجَرَ, that backbiting and slandering cuts away the imam just like a shepherd knocks off the leaves of a tree. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that any Muslim, any person that attributes even a single word to a Muslim which he has not said with the intention of defaming him, with the intention of mocking him, degrading him, then the Almighty Allah has taken it upon himself, he has made it compulsory upon himself, that he will keep this person in the fire of hell till he will be able to justify what he has said. Knowing that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said this, these youngsters are making a mockery of the deen of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by insulting, by criticizing, by ridiculing, and by mocking our Salaf al-Saliheen, by mocking the great masters and the great scholars of the past, the very people that today, I am a Muslim because of these people, you are a Muslim because of these people. These people that are criticizing and mocking and ridiculing, these youngsters themselves are Muslims because of the Salaf al-Saliheen, the very people who conveyed the Quran to us, the very people who conveyed the Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us, the Hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the very people who conveyed all the teachings of the deen to us. These are the people that these youngsters have begun to ridicule, these youngsters have begun to mock, and these youngsters have begun to criticize. Your so-and-so scholar only knew a few hadith. I, at the touch of a button before me, have an access to hundreds and thousands of hadith. This proves that I am more knowledgeable than so-and-so scholar. The thing that hurts is simple, innocent, pure, clean-hearted Muslims are falling into the trap of these ignorant individuals. And one of those that is criticized is none other than Imam Azam, the greatest Imam of all time, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Yet Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was that person who was from amongst the Tabi'een. And the Tabi'een are those people regarding whom nor I, but the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and declares in the Quran, he was sabiqoon al-awwaloon min al-muhajirin wal-ansar, and the Sabiqeen al-Awwaleen from amongst the Muhajireen and Ansar, and then making a mention of the Tabi'een, the Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And those that follow him exactly, what? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them and they with Allah. And Allah has prepared for them gardens under which rivers flow, in which they will remain forever and ever. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the supreme success. This is what a tabi'i is. The tabi'i is that person regarding which the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the hadith recorded by Imam al-Bukhari, al-Muslim, khayr al-kuruni qarni, thumma al-lazina yalunahum, thumma al-lazina yalunahum. The best people are the people of my time. Then, mentioning the tabi'in, the best people thereafter are the tabi'in, those that came after them. Then, it is the maqam and the status of those that came after them. This is what the tabi'in were. And the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was from amongst the tabi'in. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person who is so maqbool in the eyes of Allah, who receives such acceptance in the eyes of Allah, that you will find over 100 million Muslims that follow his fiqh in Pakistan. You will find over 100 million Muslims in Hindustan that follow his fiqh. You will find 100 million Muslims in Bangladesh that follow his fiqh. All the Muslims of Afghanistan follow his fiqh. All the Muslims of Turkey follow his fiqh. You will find Muslims in Sham that follow his fiqh. All the Muslims of Chechnya follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Bosnia follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Albania follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Uzbekistan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Tajikistan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Kazakhstan follow his fiqh. The Muslims of China follow his fiqh. The Muslims of Russia follow his fiqh. The Muslims of England follow his fiqh. The Muslims of America follow his fiqh. You will not find a single country in which there are Muslims in which there are not people that follow the fiqh Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. This is the acceptance that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh received from the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hanifa is that person whose glad tidings were given by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu relayed, كنا جلوسا عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. We were sitting with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the company of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Surah Jumu'ah was revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the verse, وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to others amongst them who have not yet joined them, but they will come. When he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in inquired, كَيْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ O Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were those people that have been mentioned in this verse of the Quran? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give a reply. The question was posed a second time, a third time. The narrator says, وَفِينَ سَلْمَانَ الْفَارْسِي Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also present in the gathering. He was also sitting with us. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed his hand on the shoulders of Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لو كان الإيمان عند سوريا لناله رجل أو قال رجال من هؤلاء وفي رواية من أبناء فارس. That if Iman was next to the Suriya star, even then there would be a man from the Sunan of Faris, from the Persians, that would obtain and acquire its knowledge. The great Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, an all-round master, not a single subject that Jalaluddin Suyuti rahmatullah alayh has not written on. He relates in Tabyid al-Sahifa, and Ibn Hajar al-Makki, an all-round master, relates in Al-Khairat al-Hisan, that the person that has been referred to in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is none other than Imam Azam, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh is that very person that some masters of a hadith say that he has related, he has heard hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not one who has heard hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not from one sahabi, but 8 sahabi, the likes of Anas ibn Malik, the likes of Jabir ibn Abdullah, the likes of Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa, the likes of Abdullah ibn Harith, the likes of Wasilat ibn al-Afqa, the likes of Abdullah ibn Unayth, to name just a few. He was the first to set the foundation of fiqh and record it in a proper manner according to subject matter. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person who required knowledge from 4,000 tabi'een. He acquired the knowledge of Umar from the students of Umar, the knowledge of Ali from the students of Ali, the knowledge of Ibn Mas'ud from the students of Ibn Mas'ud, the knowledge of Ibn Abbas from the students of Ibn Abbas. He is that person whose every student was a master himself. The life of Imam Abu Yusuf, the life of Imam Muhammad, the life of Imam Zuhr, rahmatullah alayhim, were shining stars themselves. He is that person, okay, no faqih, no jurist, no alim, no scholar, no muhaddith, no master hadith, no mujtahid, has as many biographies written about him as Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. And then them biographers were not ordinary people, were not ordinary scholars, they were masters like Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Sumayri rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Zamakhshari rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Khwarizmi rahmatullah alayhi, like Imam Khurdari rahmatullah alayhi. Masters who were themselves fit to be the subject of full-blooded biographies. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person regarding whom a dream was seen in the month of Ramadan. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is digging up the grave of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are people all around watching, but nobody is stopping Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi from digging up the grave of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi takes a lot of earth. He throws it to the front, he throws it to the back, he throws it to the left, he throws it to the right, and the remainder he blows off. The narrator says, frightened with what I had seen, I immediately went to Basra, to the Imam of Interpretation of Dreams, Imam Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh. Ibn Sirin, when I informed Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh of what I had seen, Ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayh remarked that the person that you have seen in your dream is a great man. He asked, tell me, is he a faqih? Is he a master when it comes to Islamic jurisprudence? Or is he just a normal scholar? I replied, he's a master, he's a faqih. He replied, giving the interpretation of this dream, by Allah, he will reveal that knowledge of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which nobody else will be able to do so, and he will become famous in the east, he will become famous in the west, and he will become famous wherever he has thrown the earth. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that person because of whom the great Imam Zahabi of Shir Ma'ani al-Athar was given life. For those that don't know who Imam Zahabi was, Imam Zahabi at the beginning was a Shafi'i because he studied under his uncle Imam Muzani rahmatullah alayhi, who was a Shafi'i, but later changed from a Shafi'i to a Hanafi. And the reason Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi changed from a Shafi'i to a Hanafi was he was studying by his uncle on one occasion. The masala came up that if a woman died while expecting and the child is still alive in her stomach, what should happen to that child? According to Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi, it is not permissible to cut open the stomach of that woman to take out the child. When Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi approves of it. When Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi read this matla, he stood up and said, okay, how can I follow such an imam who doesn't even care for the life of somebody like me? And the reason Imam Zahabi said this was that Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi was still in his mother's stomach when his mother died, and Imam Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi was taken out according to the ruling and fatwa given by the Hanafi scholars. This is the person that these youngsters criticize. This is the person that they ridicule, and this is the person that they mock. Yet, masters of that time, the Tabi'een themselves, the Atba'u Tabi'een, masters which would make your computers look silly, your computers would crash down, but these masters wouldn't crash down. From the top of their heads, they could relate hundreds and thousands of ahadith with the different chains without making a single mistake. The masters of that time, the scholars of that time, couldn't fault him. Listen to what the masters of that time say. Qais ibn Rabi says, أَدْرَكْتُ النَّاسِ وَجَعَلَتْتُهُمْ فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا أَفْقَى مِنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. That I've met the people, I've met the scholars, and I sat with them, and I stayed in their gathering. فَلَمْ أَرَى أَحَدًا أَفْقَى مِنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. But I've never seen a person more knowledgeable and more with a better understanding when it came to Islamic jurisprudence than Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The great Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, النَّاسُ فِي الْفِقْهِ إِيَالُ أَبِي حَنِيفَةً. When it comes to Islamic jurisprudence, every human being is dependent on Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The great Affan ibn Sayyar says, مثل أبي حنيفة مثل الطبيب الحاذق يعرف دواء كل داء. That the life of Abu Hanifa is like a very experienced doctor who knows the cure for every illness. Fadl ibn Musa al-Sinani says, كنا نختلف إلى المشايخ الحجاز والعراق فلم يكن مجلس أعظم بركة ولا أكثر نفعا من مجلس أبي حنيفة. But we would frequently and visit the mashayikh, the masters of Hijaz and Iraq, and we would sit in their gatherings. But the thing that we found is, there was no gathering more blessed and more beneficial than the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The Master Ali ibn Asim would say, لو وزن علم أبي حنيفة بأهل زمانه لرجع علم أبي حنيفة. That if the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was placed in one part of the balance, and the knowledge of all the masters and scholars of his time placed in the other part of the balance, the knowledge of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh would outweigh all the knowledge of the masters of his time. The great case of the Nabi would say, أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was not just the most knowledgeable person, he was the most knowledgeable person even when it came to the solution of those problems that hadn't even occurred. The Master Ibn Ziyad would say, كَانُ أَبُو حَنِيفَ بَحْرًا لَا يُدْرَكْ أَمْقُهُ. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was such an ocean, the depth of which could not be reached. Khalid ibn Ayyub would say, كَانُ أَبُو حَنِيفَ. Abu Hanifa was unique, he was incomparable, he was one in a billion. Ibn Qadam would say, we studied ilmul kalam with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he surpassed us all. We studied ilmul zuhd with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, yet again he overpowered us. We studied ilmul fiqh with Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, faja'a bima taraun. He has reached the level that you have seen yourself. The teacher Sharif would say, rajulun tara alayna lam yakun minna ghalab al-jami'. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was a man that came, he was not amongst us, but he overpowered and surpassed a lot of us. The teacher of the great Imam al-Bukhari, the Amir al-Mu'mineen for the Hadith, the great Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, an all-round master would say, كَهَاتُوا فِي الْعُلَمَاءِ مِثْلَ أَبِي حَنِيفَ. Come and bring somebody like Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Khalid ibn Musa would say, لَكِيتُ أَلْفَ عَالِمُ أَكْثَرُ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَاحِدٌ مِّنْهُمْ يُشْبِعُ أَبَا حَنِيفَ فِي الْبَصَرِ وَالْعِلْمِ وَالْأَقْلِ. But I have met over 1,000 scholars, not one resembles Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh in his insight, in his wisdom, in his intellectual reach, in his knowledge and his intellect. The great master of hadith, Abu Muhammad al-Harithi rahmatullah alayhi, would say that the ulama and the general Muslims have benefited more from Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi than they have by all the masters put together. This was Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. The masters of his time couldn't fault him, yet these homemade scholars of the 21st century mock him, ridicule him and criticize him. My brothers, criticizing is not a new thing. It is a fact that the greater the person, the more the enemies. The more the enemies, the more the criticism. Now people jealous of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh made allegations against Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh whilst Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was alive. When Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh met the great Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh, Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh, just like some of you, had received negative information and propaganda with regards to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Thus when he saw the great Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, he addressed him by saying, كَأَنْتَ الَّذِي حَوَّلْتَ دِينَ جَدِّي بِالْقِيَاسِ. Are you the one that has changed the deen of my grandfather Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and given preference to analogy over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh replied, Ma'az Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid. He then made Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh sit down and he explained by asking three questions. To Imam Baqir, tell me, who is more weaker? Is it the man or is it the woman? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayh replied, the woman is no weaker than man. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh asked, with regards to inheritance, who receives the largest share? Is it the man or is it the woman? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied, it is the man that receives the largest share. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, had I given qiyas preference over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said, because a woman is more weaker than a man with regards to inheritance, she should receive the greatest share. Yet I am of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a man receive a greater share. The second question that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi posed was, that with regards to worship, which is the most superior form of worship? Is it the 5 daily prayers, or is it fasting in the month of Ramadan? Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi replied, that the 5 daily prayers are more superior than fasting in the month of Ramadan. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said that had I given preference to qiyas over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said a woman, when she becomes pure after menstruation, because namaz is superior to fasting, that she make up for the prayers that she's missed during menses, and do not make up for her fast which she has missed because of menstruation. Yet I'm of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a woman, when she becomes pure from after menstruation, she does not make up for her prayer, yet she makes up for the fast that she's missed during this period. The third question that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked and posed was, tell me in your opinion, which is more impure? Is it urine or is it semen? Imam Basir rahmatullah alayhi replied that semen is more impure than urine. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, had I given preference to qiyas over the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would have said, because urine is more impure than semen, that it is compulsory upon a person to have a bath after discharging urine, and it is not compulsory upon a person to have a bath after discharging semen. But I am of the opinion, just like Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that a person has to have a bath after discharging semen, and a person doesn't have to have a bath after discharging urine. When everything came to light, and Imam Baqir rahmatullah alayhi realized that this was just propaganda, and what he had heard was false, he stood up and kissed the forehead of the great Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. So people made allegations against Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi whilst he was alive. The sad thing today is that criticism is coming from people that don't even know the alphabet, don't even know how to make istinja according to sunnah. Now I don't have the right to criticize a doctor when I, a sali of the street, don't even know what paracetamol is. Nor do I have the right to criticize a dentist when I believe my teeth are in my head. Now say the criticism came from a master of that field, somebody who possessed knowledge, somebody who was something. Yet even his criticism with regards to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will not be accepted when I've just made it clear to you that masters of his time, the tabi'in, the asbab tabi'in, agreed upon him and couldn't follow him. But just say for argument's sake it came from a master, somebody who possessed some knowledge, one to some degree would say, okay, let us analyze this. But how dare somebody who doesn't even know his left hand from his right, right, who doesn't even know how to make istinja according to sunnah, criticize and ridicule and mock the greatest of all imams, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The reason they do this is, and has always been, like Ibn Ziyad rahmatullah alayh says, إِلَا يَتَكَلَّمُ فِي أَبِي حَنِيفَ إِلَّا رَجُلًا إِمَّا حَاسِدٌ لِعِلْمِهِ وَإِمَّا جَاهِلٌ بِالْعِلْمِ لَا يَعْرِفُ قَدْرَ حَمَلَتِهِ. That nobody speaks ill of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh except for two people. Either he is jealous because of the knowledge that he was blessed with and possessed, or either he is an ignorant man, he doesn't know what knowledge is, he has no value for knowledge and the fairness of knowledge. This is exactly the reason that these individuals mock and criticize Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, is because they are jealous of the knowledge that he possessed, or either because they are ignorant and have no value for knowledge and the fairness of knowledge. For those that just look at the works of Imam al-Tahawi rahmatullah alayh, like Shar Ma'ani al-Athar, and the work Ahkam al-Quran of Abu Bakr al-Jassaf, and the work al-Mabsut of Imam Sarakhti rahmatullah alayh, will realize how much knowledge of hadith Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh possessed. The Imam was an all-round master. He was a born genius. And it was his intellectual reach and sharpness that made Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh the greatest of all imams. Just look at the sharpness of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. Abdul Wahid ibn Ghiyath relates, كان أبو العباس التوسي سيء الرافي أبي حنيفة رحمة الله عليه. That Abu al-Abbas al-Tusi was an enemy of Imam Hanifa رحمة الله عليه, and always intent upon harming Imam Hanifa رحمة الله عليه. He held a high position in the Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Ja'far's court. On one occasion, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi presented himself at the court for some piece of business. When Abu Abbas al-Tusi saw Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi, he said to his friends, "Al-Yawma aqtulu Abu Hanifa today. I will kill Abu Hanifa today. I will make sure that Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi doesn't leave the court alive." Now, taking an opportunity, he poses a question to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi in the presence of the Amir al-Mu'mineen and asks, "Oh Abu Hanifa, it so happens sometimes that the Amir al-Mu'mineen orders us to put somebody to death without our knowledge whether this person is guilty or not. In circumstances like this, should we carry out the order of the Amir al-Mu'mineen or refuse to do so?" Now, what he wanted Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to say was that a person in circumstances like this should not carry out the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And if Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will say this, then the Amir al-Mu'mineen will be beheaded. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, instead of giving an answer, posed the question, "Can you tell me?" And Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi tied him with his very own rope. "Can you tell me that, in your opinion, are the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen right or wrong?" Now the Amir al-Mu'mineen is there. Abu Abbas al-Tusi cannot say that the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen are wrong, because if he say this, the Amir al-Mu'mineen will behead him. So he says that, "In my opinion, the orders of the Amir al-Mu'mineen are right." So Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi remarked, "Then why do you have a hesitation in carrying out something that is right?" On another occasion, the Amir al-Mu'mineen was offered Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to take up the position of Qazi, judge. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi declined the offer. Yet again, the position was offered to him. But yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi declined that, "I'm not fit for this position." The Amir al-Mu'mineen, becoming angry, said, "You're a liar." Now look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen said that you're a liar, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, "To Amir al-Mu'mineen, you yourself have just decided that I'm not fit for this position. Because if I'm a liar, then a liar cannot be appointed as a qazi, cannot be appointed as a judge." This was the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. On another occasion, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was sitting inside the masjid, surrounded by his students. A group of Kharijites came in, the students, on seeing the Kharijites fighting, began to run away. The Imam stopped them, consoled them, and told them to have no fear, and told them to retake their seats. The leader of Kharijites went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and asked, "Who are you people?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, "We are people seeking refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَكَ فَأَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَعَ كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِغْهُ مَأْمَنَهُ. But even if a polytheist asks for refuge, you should give him refuge so that he may hear the words of Allah, and then you should escort him to a place of safety. Now the Kharijites considered every Muslim that didn't belong to their sect was offered to him. But yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi declined that I'm not fit for this position. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, becoming angry, said, "You're a liar." Now look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. When the Amir al-Mu'mineen said that you're a liar, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, "So Amir al-Mu'mineen, you yourself have just decided that I'm not fit for this position. Because if I'm a liar, then a liar cannot be appointed as a qazi, cannot be appointed as a judge." This was the sharpness of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. On another occasion, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was sitting inside the masjid, surrounded by his students. A group of Kharijites came in. The students, on seeing the Kharijites, frightened, began to run away. The Imam stopped them, consoled them, and told them to have no fear, and told them to retake their seats. The leader of Kharijites went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and asked, "Who are you people?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, "We are people seeking refuge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِنْ أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ اسْتَجَارَ فَأَجِرُوا حَتَّى يَسْمَى كَلَامَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ أَبْلِهُ مَأْمَنًا." That even if a politician asks for refuge, you should give him refuge so that he may hear the words of Allah, and then you should escort him to a place of safety. Now the Kharijites considered every Muslim that didn't belong to their sect as a kafir, and thus deserved to be put to death. And the reason this group came to the masjid was that they thought that they will ask Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to declare his aqidah, to declare his belief by posing this question. And thus they will charge him with kufr and behead him, assassinate him. However, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, they came with the intention of killing Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. But Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, through his wisdom and sharpness, recited a verse of the Quran, saying that even if a politician seeks refuge, you should give him refuge and then escort him to a place of safety. They came with an intention of killing him. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, counter-attacking, has recited a verse which imposes an obligation on them to protect his life, to protect the life of his students, and then escort him to a place of safety. Astounded, the leader of the Kharijites was forced to order his men to recite the Quran aloud and then escort Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and his students to a place of safety. On another occasion, Bahaq, the Khariji leader, who captured Kufa during the reign of the Umayyad, with a sword in his hand, came to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and ordered Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to repent, to make tawbah. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked, "To repent from what?" He remarked, "I've been told that you believe when Sayyidina Ali had a dispute with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an, he agreed to have this dispute decided by arbitration. When he was in the right, how could he agree to arbitration?" Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, just look at the sharpness of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. This guy pointing a sword to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and this is what Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says to him. "If you already decided to put me to death, then it's pointless me saying anything. But if you wish to find out the truth, then permit me to argue the question with you." Bahaq agreed and said, "I also want to debate with you." Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi ask you, "What if we cannot agree between us? Then what will happen?" The Hak replied, "We will appoint a third person. He will become an umpire and he will decide who is right from amongst us." So what happened was, one of the Hak's followers was appointed an umpire. When this was done, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, "This is exactly what Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. So why blame Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for it? If you could do it, and have done it, then why blame Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for doing exactly the same thing?" Outwitted, Bahaq, astounded, God's not lost the word, recite quietly. It was this natural gift and sharpness and intellect that helped to make Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi one of the greatest scholars of all time. Yet it is surprising to learn that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi in his early days was more interested in a business and was a very successful businessman, dealing in hundreds and thousands of dirham and dinar. Then came some women which had such an impact on Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that they changed the life of the great Imam. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi himself says, خَدَعَتْنِ إِمْرَأَةٌ وَفَتْحَتْنِ أُخْرَى وَزَهَدَتْنِ أُخْرَى. That one woman conned me, a second made me a faqih, a jurist, and a third made me a zahid, an ascetic. As for the woman that conned me, what happened was, I was walking in the streets of Kufa, and there was a woman standing there, and she was pointing at something on the ground. Now I thought that this thing that she's pointing to belongs to her, so I came and to help her, I picked this thing up and I gave it to her. But she refused, saying, "Can you look after it, and when the owner of this thing comes, give it to him, and if he doesn't come, find him and then give it to him." This was the one that conned me. As for the one that made me a faqih, made me a jurist, it so happened that I was sitting in my shop one day, a woman came and posed a question with regards to divorce. How does one give a divorce according to the sunnah? I didn't know the answer. So I sent her to Imam Hamad requesting that on her return she informs me of the answer. He says that when she informed me of the answer, I felt so ashamed that I made firm intention to learn Islamic jurisprudence. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi from then took on Islamic jurisprudence and mastered this science so well in a short period of time that when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi opened his school, most of the schools of Kufa closed down and became part of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's school. Even his teachers like Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi, Ibn Kadam, began to attend Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's lectures and began to encourage others to attend the lectures of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He became such a master, that he was able to answer questions and solve problems from the top of his head, which made masters of his time see stars and problems which the masters of his time were not able to answer, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would be able to answer them from the top of his head. Muhammad ibn Muqatil relates on one occasion a man came to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and posed the question which he posed to many scholars before who were unable to answer his question. He asked to Abu Hanifa, "Ma taqulu fi rajulin la yarju al-jannah wa la yakhafu Allah wa la yakhafu an-nar wa ya'kulu al-mayta ويصلي بلا ركوع ولا سجود ويشهد بما لا يرى ويبغض الحق ويحب الفتنة." Okay, what is your opinion with regards to a man? Okay, he doesn't hope for Jannah, nor does he fear Allah, nor does he fear the fire of hell. He eats dead meat, he prays without ruku and sajda, at the same time he testifies to what he has not seen, he dislikes that what is certain, the haq. He loves fitna, and he runs away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi posed this very same question to his students. Some of the students replied that this person is a kafir, and these are the characteristics and attributes of a kafir. While others were unable to answer. Now Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was a very cautious man. And he wouldn't give the fatwa of kufr just like that. He was of the opinion that if there are 99 things which show a person that is a kafir, and there is only one thing that proves that a person is a Muslim, the latter will be given preference. So bearing this in mind, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi answered from the top of his head that this person is a believer, a true believer, and these are the characteristics of a believer. The ulama was shocked because many had given the fatwa of kufr and asked Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to explain his answer. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied, when you say he doesn't hope for Jannah, one who is overpowered with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hopes to meet the Almighty Allah. And one who hopes to meet the Almighty Allah doesn't hope for Jannah. When you say he doesn't fear Allah, it means that he doesn't fear Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be unjust for him in his rule on the day of judgment. And when you say he doesn't fear hell, that is because he fears the Almighty Allah. And one who fears Allah refrains from sin. One who refrains from sin becomes the inheritor of Jannah. Thus he has no need to fear the fire of hell. When you say that he is animals that are not slaughtered, then I say he is fish. Fish doesn't need to be slaughtered. And when you say he prays without ruku and sajda, then that is referring to his salatul janazah. That he plays salatul janazah and he presents himself there. And in salatul janazah there is no ruku and sajda. And when you say that he testifies to what he's not seeing, then I say he testifies. There is no God worthy of worship, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. And he has not seen Allah, and he has not seen Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you say he loves fitna, I say that he loves his family. He loves his wife and children. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا أَوَّالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَا, that your children and your wealth are fitna. And when you say that he runs from the mercy of Allah, I say he runs from rain. Because rain is the mercy of Allah, and he runs from rain so that he doesn't become wet. When the ulama heard this remarkable answer, and the questioner heard this answer, he stood up and kissed Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi on his forehead and said, I bear witness that you are a receptacle for knowledge. Let me just give you another example. Imam Amish rahmatullah alayhi was from amongst the masters of hadith and the tabi'i. He used to relate hadith, hundreds and thousands of hadith with their chains, off by heart without a book. He would never carry a book. He wasn't that handsome, whilst his wife was very beautiful. And she would always argue and fight with him, looking for a way to get divorced. So it happened that on one night, after Isha, they had a very severe argument over something, as a result of which his wife stopped speaking to him. He tried every method to please her, but she wouldn't speak. Finally becoming angry, he took an oath that if you do not speak to me by tonight, then you will be divorced. Now he's taken the oath, but when he cooled down and realized the consequences, thinking about his children, he regretted it bitterly. He went to one scholar, a second scholar, a third scholar, but nobody was able to help him. He finally went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and related this whole incident to him. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said, there is nothing to worry. What we'll do is get the muazzin of your masjid to say the adhan before dawn. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi went to the muazzin of his masjid and spoke to him directly and told him to give the adhan before dawn. Imam Amish rahmatullah alayhi went home and saw that his wife is all dressed up, packed, suitcases are there, waiting for the adhan so she could go to her family, she could go to her mother's house. When she heard the adhan, she spoke to him saying, oh, thank you Allah, you have relieved me at last from this old man. Now Imam Amish rahmatullah alayhi replied, I also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved my marriage. As the muazzin has given adhan before dawn, and you've spoken to me before the night has ended, thus my condition is fulfilled, and thus no divorce. This was all due to the blessings of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. He was able to answer questions, and things would occur to him on the spur of the moment, which were beyond the ingenuity of common men.
On another occasion, once a man getting angry with his wife said to her on oath, "I'm never going to speak to you till you speak to me." Now the woman was his match in temper, so she said exactly the same words. That I'm not going to speak to you till you speak to me. When their tempers cooled down, obviously they regretted what they both said. So the man went to Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi and related the whole incident on what he said to his wife. Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi said that the only way out was for the man to make atonement for his oath. The man wasn't too pleased with his answer, and thus he went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and related the whole incident. This is what he said to his wife, and his wife said, "This sahih." Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said to him, "Go and talk to each other. There is no question of atonement." Now when Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi got to know of what Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi had said, very angry, he went to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi and reproached him for giving for what he thought was an incorrect answer. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi sent for the very same man and asked him to say what he said. The man said what he said previously. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi gave him exactly the same answer, because there's no question of atonement. Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi to explain why he has given this answer. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi explained that when the man said on oath that I'm not going to speak to you till you speak to me, and then when the woman replied that I'm also not going to speak to you till you speak to me, when the woman replied, she took the initiative in speaking to him. Thus the husband's condition is fulfilled. And because the husband's condition is fulfilled, there is no question of atonement. When Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi heard this answer, he said, "O Abu Hanifa, things that occur to you on the spur of the moment are beyond the ingenuity of common men. I've just related two or three incidents to you. There are hundreds of incidents like this, which prove how clever Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi really was. Questions that scholars of the time could not solve, people would come to Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would answer their questions. They would even come to him with questions not even pertaining to fiqh. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi would answer them questions for them. He was an absolute genius. Not just his intellect, everything was ajeeb about Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. Just look at his taqwa. The great Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, the teacher of the great Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, relates that once somebody's goat was stolen, and it ended up mixing up with the goat belonging to the people of Kufa. Now Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi's taqwa was such that fearing that the meat of this stolen goat may end up in the markets of Kufa, and just fearing in turn that it may end up on the table on the dasturkhan of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi asked the people, "How long a goat of this nature can survive, can remain alive?" He was informed that a goat like this can remain alive for 7 years. Thus it is stated, for 7 years, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi refrained from purchasing meat from the people of Kufa. In some books and traditions it is mentioned that during this very same period, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi saw a soldier. After having eaten meat, he threw the remainder portion in the river, fearing yet again, maybe this is the meat of that particular goat. Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is also related that he stopped eating fish for a period of time. This was the taqwa of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. An enemy slapped him, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi replied very humbly, "That I could also slap you in the manner that you slap me, but I will not do so." I could complain to the Khalif and report you. But yet again, I will not do so. I could pray against you at the time of Tahajjud, but I will not do so. I can ask for justice on the day of judgment, but I will not do so. And I assure you that if I receive my record in my right hand and my intercession is accepted, then I assure you that I will not enter Jannah without you. This was Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh. In some narrations it is mentioned that a kafir owed some money to Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh. Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh one day went to demand the payment. When all of a sudden he realized there is some dirt on his slippers, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh took off the slipper and shook the slipper to take off the dirt. As he shook the slipper, the dirt flew off and landed onto the wall of that particular kafir. On seeing this, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh became very sad. But I can't leave this dirt on his house, and if I take it off, it is possible that some particles of the sand of his wall will come off in the process of removing this dirt. Thus, I will have caused some damage. Worried about this, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh asked what should be done, knocked on the door to ask the kafir. Now that the kafir is thinking that Imam Ali rahmatullah alayh has come to demand the payment, he began to apologize and offer excuses. When Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh related the reason that he's come to ask as to what could be done with regards to this dirt, the kafir, on seeing the zuhud, the taqwa, the piety of the great Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh there and then put the kalima, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله, that I testify there is no God worthy of worship, and I testify that truly Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. Everything about Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi wa sajid. As for a third woman, وَأَمَّا الَّذِي زَهَدَتْنِي, that had an impact on Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi's life was the one that made him, an affected that made him a zahid. It so happened that Imam Khwarizmi rahmatullah alayhi relates that Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi says, as I was walking through the streets of Kufa one day, I happened to pass by a group of women. A woman whispered to the other, as I was passing by, كَهَابَ أَبُو حَنِيفَ لَا يَنَامُ لَيْجِ. You know who this is? This is Imam Azam, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi, the very person that doesn't sleep the night, the very person who reads his Salatul Fajr with the wudu that he had made for Salatul Isha. When Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi heard this, he said to himself, is this what people are thinking about me and saying about me yet? I don't even do this, I don't even stay awake during the night. How can I meet the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a state? Wallahi, لو حققنا ظن الناس فيها, by Allah, I will live up to their expectations. And it was from then that the night of Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi became for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that Ibn Qadam relates, I went to the masjid of Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi, and I saw that the great Imam, after having read Salatul Fajr, sat down and began to teach the people the deen, and kept on doing so right till Salatul Dhuhr. There was a short break for Salatul Dhuhr. After Salatul Dhuhr, yet again, Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi takes his place. Come Salatul Asr, come Salatul Maghrib, keeps on teaching right till Salatul Isha. He reads his Salatul Isha, and then leaves for home. He says, a thought comes to mind, surely this man who spends the whole day conveying the message of Allah and his messenger Muhammad Rasulullah, teaching the people the deen, teaching the people the Masail, whose mind is occupied with the Masail 24/7, surely this man won't have the time to wake up for tahajjud and won't have the time for nawafil during the night. He says, as this thought was crossing my mind, all of a sudden I realized that the whole masjid is empty, everybody has left the mosque and gone to their houses, and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has returned to the masjid. He has changed his clothes, he's wearing itaf, and he stands up for prayer in one corner of the masjid and begins to recite the Quran. He keeps on reciting the Quran. He has read 1/7 of the Quran, and now a thought comes to mind, surely now he will go into ruku, but he doesn't go into ruku. He keeps on reading till he's read 1/3 of the Quran. Yet again, I think now he's going to go into ruku, but yet again he doesn't. He does half of the Quran, yet again I think now he's going into ruku, yet again he doesn't. He keeps on reading till he's recited the whole Quran, and thus Imam Ali rahmatullah alayhi completes his prayer. At dawn, he returns home, he does what he has to do, and yet again He returned for Salatul Fajr and read Salatul Fajr with Jama'ah. I thought, surely today he's not going to do exactly what he did yesterday. Surely now he's tired. It has come the second day, and yet again, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi after Salatul Fajr sits down and teaches the people and keeps on doing so right till Salatul Isha. And come the night, yet again, the people have left, and Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has returned to the masjid, and yet again, he recites the whole Quran in prayer. Comes the third day, and yet again, I see that the third day, exactly like the first and the second, the day he spent inside the masjid, conveying the message of Allah, teaching the people the deen, teaching the, solving their problems, teaching them the trial, and the night he's standing before the Almighty Allah in prayer, and he completes the whole Quran in prayer. When I saw this, it says, then I made firm intentions that I will stay with this person, I will stay in his company, and I will benefit from him, and I will learn from him right till I die. Ibn Qadam says, I remained in his masjid, and in my entire stay, never a day passed in which Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was not fasting, and nor a single night passed in which Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi didn't stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. Yes, there is one thing I did see, that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was asleep for a short while before Salat al-Zuhr. The person who relates this tradition, Ibn Qadam, was not a normal person. He was such a master that he himself died in the masjid of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi in the state of sajda while he was prostrating before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Asad ibn Amr relates that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, for 40 years Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi said his morning prayer with the wudu that he made for Salatul Isha. And normally every night Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi will finish the Quran once in prayer. And in the month of Ramadan, Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi not once but twice will finish the Quran in the month of Ramadan 60 times. He also narrates that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has performed Hajj 55 times and he has completed 7,000 readings of the Quran. Allahu Akbar. 7,000 readings of the Quran Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has completed in the place that he passed away. It is because of this worship, constant worship, constant weeping, standing before the Almighty Allah in prayer, that the lights of Salihin relate that Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was called a peg. An incident is related with regards to this, that when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi died, one of his neighbors, the son asked the father, يا أبتي أين تلك الدعامة التي كنت أراها كل ليلة في سطح أبي حنيفة بالليل. Oh father, where is that pillar that I would see on the roof of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi every night? It is no longer there. Where is it gone? The father replied, يا بنيا, oh my son, that wasn't the pillar. That was the pillar of deen Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, who would stay awake during the night and stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi remained right till he died. This is why Khwarizmi relates نَهَارُ أَبِي حَنِيفَ لِلْإِفَادَةِ وَلَيْلُ أَبِي حَنِيفَ لِلْإِبَادَةِ, that the days of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh were to benefit the people, and the nights of Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh were to benefit itself, were to stand before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh remained right till he died, and he died in the state of sajda while he was bowing down, prostrating before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So accepted Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh was by the masses, that it is related that people read Salatul Janazah at his grave continuously for 20 days. People would come and offer their Salatul Janazah and they would go. Not only did the people cry when Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi left this world, even the jinn shed tears. It is related that voices could be heard, people could not be seen. It was the jinn saying, ذَهَبَ الْفِكْهُ فَلَا فِكْهَ لَكُمْ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَكُونُوا خَلَفًا مَاتَ نُعْمَانُ فَمَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي يُحْيِي اللَّيْلَ إِذَا مَا سَجَفَا. Islamic jurisprudence has come to an end. Fiqh has come to an end. You have no jurist left. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and become kun khalaf. Nu'man has died. Who will now stay awake during the night before the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? People saw beautiful beings after Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi died. Not one. Many people saw beautiful dreams. The likes of Abu Mu'az, the likes of Sadiq ibn Sarha, the likes of Jad Tammar, the likes of Ja'far ibn Hussein, rahmatullah alayhi, saw a deep dream. Ibn Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi relates on the authority of Muhammad ibn Abu Raja. But after Imam Muhammad, I saw Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi in a dream and I asked, oh Abu Abdullah, that was the kunniyat of Imam Muhammad. Oh Abu Abdullah, how did it go with the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He replied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because I intended not to punish you. I asked, how is Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi? He replied, Imam Yusuf Rahmatullah alayhi is above me. I asked, how did it go with Imam Hanif Rahmatullah alayhi? He replied, Imam Hanif Rahmatullah alayhi is well beyond us. He is in the Illiyin. This was Imam Hanif Rahmatullah alayhi. An absolute master in every respect. And this was the respect that Imam Shafi Rahmatullah alayhi had for Imam Hanif Rahmatullah alayhi, that it is related, Imam Nabi relates in his work Al-Minhaj, that on one occasion, Imam Shafi Rahmatullah alayhi read his Salatul Fajr next to the Imam's grave. But he did not read Duwaya Qanut, and at the same time he didn't recite Bismillah aloud. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah alayhi was of the opinion that Duwaya Qanut should be read and Bismillah should be read aloud. But on that occasion he did not read it. When asked as to why he left this out and as to why he didn't read Bismillah aloud, he replied that out of respect for the Shaykh in this grave that I have left it on this occasion and I have not recited it. Such was the respect that Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak had, that tears would flow from his eyes and he would say, O Abu Hanifa, you have not let anyone that can take care of the work like yourself. This was the respect the ulama and the masters had for Imam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. And today look at our youngsters. They are ridiculing and they are mocking our Salaf al-Saliheen, the great masters of the past. I conclude by saying, to speak ill about any Muslim, the consequence of such an evil is detrimental. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ لَيُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَرْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَاتٍ وَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ مِنْ سَخَطِ اللَّهِ لَيُلْقِي لَهَا بَالًا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي جَهَنَّمَ. Yet sometimes a person utters a word, he doesn't think much of what he has uttered, but such is the consequence of such a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has raised his rank in Jannah. And sometimes a person utters a word, just one word from the displeasure of Allah, he doesn't think much about it, but such is the consequence of this one word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala him right in the fire of hell. The consequence of speaking ill about a Muslim is the consequence of such an evil is detrimental. Never mind speaking ill about the Salaf al-Saliheen, about the great masters of the past, the Imam al-Mujtahideen, the Muhaddithin, the Mufassireen, and the Fuqaha. It is an attribute of a Muslim that he refrains from doing such a thing. As the consequence of such an evil is detrimental. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Man aada li waliyan faqad barazani bil hazb. Whoever keeps enmity, degrade, mock, speak ill, becomes an enemy of any friend of mine, of any wali, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I declare a war with such a person. And you know what the outcome will be of such a person who declares war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَلِبُونَ. And on this I conclude saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to respect our elders and value what they did for the ummah and what they did for you and I. You and I are Muslims today because of our Salaf al-Saliheen. They were the ones that conveyed the Quran to us. They were the ones that conveyed the deen to us. They were the ones that conveyed the sunnah and the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gives me the tawfiq to ask for what I've said. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq to ask for what I've said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَنَا لِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.